Good morning. Kindly turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Judges, verse chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. We'll be reading from verse 1. Judges chapter 6, verse 1. Reading. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian for 7 years. Verse 2. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Verse 6. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Verse 13. Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" 14. Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" Verse 15. So he said to him, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Verse 16. And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Shall we pray? Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we're about to look into your word. We pray, Lord, that as we look into your word, we pray for the leading of the Holy Spirit, that all that will be said will be honor and glory to your name. Amen. Amen. The book of Judges is a continuation of the book of Joshua as the nation of Israel settled into the promised land. When Joshua was alive, the nation of Israel served the Lord. They were an obedient people who conquered the land of Canaan through the power of God. In Joshua 24:31, we read that Israel served the Lord. I repeat that. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. But in the books of Judges, a disobedient and idolatrous people were defeated time and time again by the enemies, all because of their rebellion against God. After the death of Joshua, there was no strong leadership qualities and deep spiritual commitment of anyone to take his place. The new generation didn't know the Lord nor obey his commandments. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life. Verse 3, be careful to observe it. Be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you. Israel was told to teach the new generation to fear the Lord and to keep his commandments. But they did not teach the new generation to fear God and to keep his commandments. And this is what happened to them, as we read in Judges 2, verse 10. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers. Another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor of the work which he had done for Israel. Verse 11. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Verse 12. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were around them, and they bowed to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. The new generation of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They worshiped idols, they forsook the Lord, and they provoked the Lord to anger. That is why it is so important as Christians that we teach our children, our grandchildren, our Sunday school children, our Awana children to fear the Lord. Because if we don't, they will end up provoking the Lord to anger. Without Joshua's leadership, the nation of Israel quickly fell into lawlessness. Israel set aside God's law to do what was right in their own eyes. Everyone did as they saw fit. Instead of looking to God as the authority, Israel decided for themselves what was right. Thus, they became easy prey for their enemy nations. Excuse me. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but its end is the way of death. Man's way of thinking leads to death, but God's law leads to holiness and perfection. The book of Judges takes up the history of the nation of Israel after Joshua's generation had died. It was written to show the consequences of disobedience to God and God's faithfulness. The theme of the book of Judges is God's power and covenant mercy. God graciously delivered the Israelites from the consequences of their sin. Even though Israel repeatedly sinned against God, God still provided deliverers or judges time and time again. However, God did not spare Israel from the consequences of their sins. There is a consequence for sin. Because of their sin, their enemies continue to defeat them time and time again. Nevertheless, God continued to preserve Israel, not for anything they merited or for their repentance, but God continued to deliver Israel because of his promise to Abraham and his descendants. God remembered his vow to give the land of Canaan to Israel, and God wouldn't allow Israel's enemies to take the land that he gave them. Genesis 12, verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. Genesis 12, verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. God demonstrated his compassion and faithfulness, even to a wayward people who grieved him continually. God is faithful and his promises are true. Let's look further into another one of Israel's disobediences and the consequences. Numbers 33, verse 51, the last part of the sentence. When you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, verse 52, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Destroy all their engraved stones. Destroy all their molded images and demolish all their high places. Verse 55, same chapter. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Judges 1, verse 27. However, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shean. Verse 29. Nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Gezer. Verse 30. Nor did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron or the inhabitants of Nahalol. Verse 31. Nor did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Accho, and on and on. God said, drive out all the inhabitants of the land. The people failed to drive out the heathen inhabitants of the Canaan completely. In fact, they began commingling with them and practiced idolatry. Could you please put up the first PowerPoint, please? In the book of Judges, there were five basic reasons for the cycle of Israel's moral and spiritual decline. I guess the PowerPoint's not working, so I'll just list them for you. Number one, Israel disobeyed God by not completely driving out the Canaanites out of the land. Number two, Israel practiced idolatry. Number three, Israel intermarried with the wicked Canaanites. Number four, Israel did not listen to the instruction of the judges. And number five, Israel turned away from God after the death of each judge. They disobeyed God, they practiced idolatry, they intermarried, they did not listen, and they turned away from God. Now, there were seven parts to the cycle that repeatedly occurred in this phase of Israel's history. Number one, Israel's departure from the Lord, and that's the five reasons I previously mentioned. Number two, God became angry. God then chastened Israel by allowing military defeat by their enemies. Israel prayed to God, pleading for deliverance from their enemies. God then raises up judges, either civil or military champions, who led them in defeating their oppressors. Then there was peace for a period of time. The judge will die, and the cycle will repeat itself. Now, this cycle went on for 450 years under 12 different judges. Now, many of us know that when we do something wrong, many of us know that when we are doing something wrong, but we do it anyway. The Lord told the nation of Israel what would happen if they did not completely drive out the Canaanites. Israel knew what would happen, but they disobeyed God anyway. And so now we're going to move over to Judges 6, where the cycle continues. The Midianites are now an irritant in Israel's eyes, and thorns in their sides, just like the Lord said. The Midianites and the nomads from the east continue to harass Israel for 7 years in the land in which they dwelled. They ruined their crops and they destroyed their cattle. You know, growing up, my mother used to say, if you don't listen, you're gonna feel. Israel didn't listen to God, and so they are feeling the consequences of their sin. Sometimes we need a storm in our lives to remind us of the goodness of God, to bring us to a closer walk with Christ, to remind us to depend on Christ and on Christ alone. Israel was going through a storm. They cried unto the Lord for help. God heard their cries, and God graciously intervenes to deliver his people. God sent a prophet to the children of Israel to remind them of the great things the Lord had done for them and to remind them of their idolatry. Judges 6, verse 7. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, verse 8, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel who said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you out of the house of bondage, verse 9, and I delivered you out of the hands of the Egyptians, verse 10, but you have not obeyed my voice. God now raises up a well-known judge to us named Gideon to deliver his people. Now, Gideon was living a life of fear. The usual place to thresh grain was in an elevated open area, but Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to hide it from the Midianites. Judges 6, verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon must have looked around the wine press at the angel of the Lord to see who he was speaking about. Gideon had a poor self-image of himself. He didn't consider himself a valiant warrior. Gideon questions the validity of the statement from the angel of the Lord that the Lord is with you because of all the bad things that are happening to Israel. Gideon heard about the great things the Lord had done for Israel, but he felt that the Lord had forsaken Israel. But Israel had put themselves in that position because of their disobedience. When a nation stops listening to God, God will get their attention. Sometimes God must use harsh measures to get our attention. And he has Israel's attention. Let's look at verse 12 again, the last part of the verse. The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon was not paying attention to the words in verse 12 when the angel of the Lord said, the Lord is with you, meaning with you, Gideon. The angel of the Lord, which is the pre-incarnate Christ, calls Gideon into service. Verse 14, then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Verse 15, so he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Gideon basically says, get somebody else. How can I save Israel? My tribe is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the weakest in my family. Gideon had a poor self-image of himself. Gideon saw himself unfit for God's service. If the Lord sends you, he's going to give you everything you need for that journey. How many of us have acted like Gideon? How many of us has felt unqualified or unworthy when called to serve the Lord in some capacity? When God calls you, he will be with you and give you all you need. Verse 16, and the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. What greater promise can one receive, knowing that God is with us? If God is for us, who can be against us? During this conversation with the angel of the Lord, it becomes apparent to Gideon that he is speaking to the Lord himself. But Gideon still had doubt. Gideon wanted to make sure it was the Lord before he took on this divine task of leading Israel against the Midianites. Gideon wanted proof. So he prepared an offering unto the Lord and asked for confirmation from the Lord. And he did receive confirmation. And you can read that in your spare time in verses 19 to 21. Gideon then built an altar at that site because he saw God and he did not die. Gideon's faith was renewed. That same night, Gideon destroyed the altar to Baal and the wooden image that belonged to his father. He feared his father's house and the men of that city, so he did it at night. The men of the city wanted to kill Gideon, but his father said to them, if Baal is a god, let Baal plead for himself. Let Baal fight for himself. Gideon was then nicknamed Jerubbaal, meaning let Baal contend. Now, as the Midianites and the enemies of Israel entered the land, Gideon gathered all his troops before he went to battle. He wanted another sign from the Lord to confirm his calling. He put out a fleece overnight and asked God to keep the fleece wet while the surrounding ground was dry. God graciously did as Gideon requested. Gideon then asked for another sign. He asked God to keep the fleece dry while the ground was wet. God had then complied. Gideon was finally convinced that God meant what he said, and that under Gideon's leadership, the nation of Israel would have victory over Midian. But God wasn't done with Gideon's faith yet. Gideon had about 32,000 troops. God felt that if these troops defeated the Midianites, they would think that they did this under their own power. So God told Gideon, reduce the size of the army. The army was reduced to 10,000 men. God felt that this was still too much. So God told Gideon to bring them down to the water. The soldiers that drank water as a dog remained. These were the soldiers that never took their eyes off the horizon. Yeah. But those that drank water on their knees were sent home. The army was reduced to 300 men. 300 men. Judges 7, verse 12. Now the Midianites and Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seashore in multitude. Can you imagine 300 men going up against this multitude? But Gideon trusted God. Sometimes the Lord puts us in difficult situations so we can totally depend on him. Gideon had no choice but to trust God. We cannot be too small for God to use us, but we can be too big. Isaiah 48, verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. Gideon went on to defeat the Midianites with 300 men. This was another proof to Gideon and Israel that their God reigns supreme. In accomplishing God's mission, Gideon proves himself to be a faithful man, a mighty warrior, a strong leader. Though Gideon's faith seemed to be weak at times, God patiently worked with him and strengthened his faith to the point that he could carry out God's mission. Gideon's obedience to the Lord required him to take a stand against his own father and his tribe. He feared what would happen when he tore down his father's idol, but it's evident Gideon feared God more than man. In battle, Gideon took on greater odds that seemed impossible, but he knew where his strength came from. God guided Gideon to victory. When the Israelites wanted to honor him as their king, he showed humility. Judges 8, verse 23. But Gideon said to them, I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. Gideon gave credit to the true king. Gideon was given a platform, but he gave God all the glory. God can use ordinary people to accomplish his plans. The key to Gideon's success was his willingness to obey God. Gideon went from a man hiding from his enemy to destroying the same enemy in battle. His name is written in Hebrews 11 with the other heroes of faith. Gideon was the fifth of the 12 judges of Israel and is known as the greatest. So what can we learn from the life of Gideon? In simple terms, if you trust God, good things will happen to you. If you don't trust God, you're on a destructive path. Gideon is an example to us that he obeyed and waited on the Lord. When you put your trust in God, he will give you the direction you need and you will prosper. Initially, Gideon didn't think much of himself, but little is much when God is in it. God can bring strength out of our weaknesses. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I am strong. We are all an unfinished product, but God can mold us to the person he wants us to be. God is a merciful God. Great is his faithfulness. God uses our difficult situations to build our faith. Time and time again, he has shown us that he is enough. Sometimes things don't appear logical or reasonable. Faith requires us to do unreasonable things. In the sixth chapter, Gideon had doubt. In the seventh chapter, all doubt was removed. We build our faith so when the storm comes, and it will come, we will not be blown off course. Yes. Gideon built his faith. Disobedience always brings judgment. If we continue in disobedience, we invite God's discipline. Not because he enjoys our suffering, but because the Lord disciplines those he loves. As in the time of Judges, we see some of the same things happening today. People have rejected God and are doing what they seem fit in their own eyes. Their opinion becomes the moral authority and not the word of God. Right becomes wrong and wrong becomes right. The book of Judges paints an ugly picture of what we are without God. It is a cycle of sin. The last verse of Judges hints at a coming king. But even a coming king couldn't stop the sin problem. But Jesus Christ can. If you are here this morning, you can break that cycle of sin in your life by accepting Christ today. If you come to Christ, acknowledging that you are a sinner, he will forgive you of your sins. But if you feel that you are fine and there's nothing wrong with you spiritually, then there's nothing Christ can do for you today. You must first acknowledge your sinfulness and God will take it from there. When there's repentance and commitment to turn away from sin, God brings deliverance. God worked miracles in the life of Gideon and he can work a miracle in your life also. He can bring peace to those nagging problems. He may not solve all your problems, but he will give you the grace to deal with them. God's word is perfect and has the power to convert the soul and save lives. God's word makes a person wise and gives them knowledge and understanding. God's word is truth. John 17, 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. God's law endures forever. It is internal and unchanging. Today we have laws that have been on the books for hundreds of years, and now it is changing. God's law never changes. We don't get to change God. He changes us. If you would like to be a changed person today, accept Christ before it is too late. If you would like more information about how Jesus can make a difference in your life, you can speak to me after the service or speak to someone that you might be sitting next to, and they will direct you to someone who can be of help. Amen. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the time we spent around your word. We pray, Lord, that we will take the things of the Lord and make it practical in our lives. Now, as we are about to close this part of the meeting, Lord, we ask that you would bless the rest of this day, the rest of the activities, those who are leaving, take them home in peace and in safety. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.